So how would you think through this case? She's got an ER-positive tumor, but she has a positive node, or I guess you'd call it positive.
Yeah, well, it sounded like it was a micrometastasis, actually.
Right.
I didn't get a specific measurement, but a small amount of disease.
Between 0.2 and 2 millimeters.
Yeah. I think that even without the history of the cardiomyopathy, you could pretty easily convince yourself to just give hormone therapy to this patient. It's a low-grade tumor. She's postmenopausal. The general prognosis is good. The marginal benefits of adjuvant chemotherapy in postmenopausal hormone receptor-positive breast cancer are modest at best, and I haven't had the chance to look a case like this up on Peter Ravden's Adjuvant Online, but you could begin to get an estimate on the order of a few percentage points improvement in 10-year disease-free survival. If you really wanted to refine that, you could add an Oncotype DX measurement to quantify the risk, and you would sort of ignore the micromet because its clinical significance is unclear. But I think that even without the cardiomyopathy history, one could imagine a debate as to whether this patient needs chemotherapy. Given the cardiomyopathy history and all you just heard from Dr. Steingart about the frailty of these patients, the comorbidity, this woman is much more likely to die of her heart disease in the next decade or so, I would imagine, than she is from her breast cancer, though one would have to look at formal models to estimate that. I would loathe to give this patient chemotherapy. Even non-anthracycline-based chemotherapies with their changes in capillary leak syndrome, with the steroids that are required for antiemetics, with the fluid shifts and potential for diabetes that people get from steroids, the hyperdynamic nature if they get a fever with a febrile neutropenia. I mean, don't rock this boat. This patient is barely compensated on 4 cardiac drugs, and you would quit while you're ahead with the hormone treatment.
Dennis?
I agree completely.
What are your thoughts about non-anthracycline alternatives? There are a number out there. Dennis, you mentioned the docetaxel cyclophosphamide regimen that Steve Jones presented last year at San Antonio. What are your thoughts about those types of regimens and that one in particular?
I think the one in particular, TC, and again, making house point not to confuse TC with carboplatin, although there are non-trastuzumab carboplatin taxotere regimens or taxol regimens that look pretty good that have been tested by a number of different people, first starting with Edith Perez. But the reality is Steve Jones' data comparing it to anthracycline-based therapy is very impressive. And it's a large study, and the data are robust. I think U.S. Oncology is going to do a repeat study that's going to be even larger. But I find that a very attractive regimen, and I like using that for the patients that I see that are in that category if they need chemotherapy. In the case that was just presented, though, I agree with Hal. There would be an argument as to whether or not this patient should have any chemotherapy, given the nature of her tumor, the biologic markers, and the fact that it's a low-grade postmenopausal disease. So if I were someone who was inclined to give chemotherapy, I'd be loath to give anything that had any smell of even minimal cardiac insult.
So can you follow up what happened with the patient?
Well,
and what discussions went on with her?
Well, we spoke with our cardiologist who acknowledged that we really didn't have any good understanding of the cause of this cardiomyopathy. She had been now about 2 years post and was holding her own in terms of her injection fraction and remained asymptomatic. We had presented her at our tumor board, all acknowledging that although she had low grade and fairly small disease, we also recognized that she did have at least whatever lymph node burden you interpret that to be, and elected to treat her with a non-anthracycline regimen. We chose taxotere over Taxol, thinking perhaps we'd slice off just another smidgen of cardiac toxicity, and she was treated a la Steve Jones's regimen with TC followed by hormonal therapy.
How did she do in the TC?
Gratefully, and now I'm more frightened now than I was when I did it. But God,
she had no problems?
No, she actually flew through her TC, and we watched her EF through that, and her cardiologist sort of knowing what we're doing was on my shoulder. And she's now about a year post-chemotherapy and continues to have an EF at about 45.
It's been said, and Steve and Joyce O'Shaughnessy and the other people from U.S. Oncology, the data showed that it seemed like it was less toxic than the AC, the TC, and other people have questioned who haven't used the regimen. Is that your experience, Dennis?
Yes.
What specifically do you see in terms of it being less toxic than AC?
Well, I think that certainly the cardiac dysfunction, I mean, everyone needs to appreciate that the whole issue of cardiac dysfunction with anthracycline-based regimens until the HER2 era was enormously underappreciated. Or we're now overestimating it, one of those two extremes, I'm not sure which, because we assume that what I was taught in medical school, which tells you how long ago it was that not to worry until you get above 450 milligrams per meter squared. And then with the regimens that were 6 cycles at 60, we're at 360 milligrams per meter squared. And then for sure, when we got to the cycles of 4AC followed by 4T, because we didn't want to give those together, we were at 240 milligrams per meter squared. No one ever thought to look at it. When we did the registrational trial for trastuzumab, we weren't measuring cardiac dysfunction. We weren't even thinking to look at it. No signal came out of the phase one. Nothing came out of the phase two, which is why you do larger phase three trials. It was during the phase three trial that women started coming in saying, you know, things are going great, except I can't walk upstairs. I get short of breath. And that never happened to me before. And we saw that disproportionately happening in the trastuzumab-treated arm. So we then said, let's take a look. And we started to look, and lo and behold, we were seeing this signal. So that we planned the adjuvant trials, as Hal said, where everything was followed closely. When we started to follow closely, which we'd never done before, we found women getting left ventricular dysfunction, some of it significant, at 150 to 180 milligrams per meter squared of Adriamycin. So this is a cardiotoxic drug beyond our traditional thinking that you can give it up to 450 and then you have to start to worry. This does bad things to the heart, and independent of the other long-term effects that it causes that are starting to come out. And that's what some of the beautiful data that was presented, I think, at ASCO by Dr. Steingart and his colleagues in terms of the cardiologists really saying, you're underappreciating what's going on here.